rolling like a pimp. Rolling like a pimp. It's weekend at Bernie's in the palace. Weekend at Bernie's in the palace. Kate, where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Kate, there you are. Rolling like a pimp. Kate Middleton in the palace. Rolling like a pimp. There we go. Thank you. It's weekend of Bernie's. What do you believe? Finally, thank God. It looks like we have a real answer as of today, but there is one theory and explanation for the Kate-spiracy. I'm not entirely convinced that it isn't true. I think it is the most believable. And I know about House and Habit. I know about all of it. We're going to talk about all of it, okay? But I'm telling you, I still think there's more to the story. This is Politics Live. It's pop culture without the propaganda, established 2019 on our new day and new time, Fridays live at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Of course, you can watch or listen later on the Real Alex Clark YouTube or Real Alex Clark on any podcast app. But being here, being a worm is the vibe. Weekend burning it up is the vibe. Speaking of vibes, I saw this woman on Instagram, and I actually think she may be, why did I just have an English accent? Kate Middleton, are you in the room with us? Kate Middleton, are you here? She's coming out. Wait, what if I'm being possessed by Kate Middleton? I had an English accent right there, didn't I? I know I'm not crazy. I heard it myself. Speaking of vibes, I saw this woman. I think that she is maybe the next big health and wellness influencer on the internet. I'm going to play you her short reel, and then I want you to tell me what you think.
Going for a fart walk after dinner is something that's going to help you age wonderfully. And if you follow me, you know that my husband and I go out for fart walks most nights after dinner. So about 60 minutes after we've eaten, we put on our running shoes and off we go. Now, why do we do this? Well, we eat a lot of fiber, so we have gas. Everybody does. And, you fart when you walk. So that's why I named it that. But the main reason that we do the fart walks is because by walking for as little as 2 minutes, we usually walk for about 10, 15, 20, but not really quickly. It's more of a moderate walk. We are helping reduce our chances of developing type 2 diabetes. Why? Well, because walking is helping maintain our blood sugars, keeping them from ricocheting all around. And as you age, especially after 40, you have a bigger chance of developing type 2 diabetes. So it's these little things you do on a regular basis that can have a really big impact on your long-term health. So sign yourself up for fart walks. I invented the hashtag. Yeah, so on my grave, Marion Smith, the fart walk inventor. Yeah, you know what? It's fun to be famous for something.
Okay, you heard her. You heard her. Forget hot girl walks. It's all about the fart walk. I need to start doing this. I wish I had someone to fart walk with. No one I know lives by me. I'm lonely. I'm so lonely. Things are bad when you have no one to fart walk with. You know what I mean? And I know you guys would do it with me at least. It's the thought that counts, right? Like the ghost of cute conservative spirits and obviously Kate Middleton apparently going on a fart walk together. Like in my mind, there's, you know, 14 of us in a big group and it looks like a takeover. It's cute Antifa, but it's just farting. We're not destroying any buildings or lighting anything on fire. Just We're lighting the air on fire around us with our farts, but that's it. That's it. And I think that's commendable and respectable. And I think that this woman's legacy being a fart walk at the end of her life is iconic. And she is the health and wellness influencer that we all need. Now, the other huge thing that I am going to discuss is the new bombshell Brandy Melville documentary. Gen Z is literally quaking. Quaking. If you just felt the earth shake a little bit, that was Gen Z. They said, oh, because I said Brandy Melville scandal. Oh, gosh, what are we going to do? No more baby tees. Also, does anybody at all anymore love scary movies? Literally, I never meet anybody that likes scary movies like I do. And there is a terrifying, look at, I'm doing Trump hands. Why am I doing Trump hands? There is a terrifying, perfectly rated new scary movie coming out in just a few days that no one is discussing. There is like zero marketing for this movie. I didn't know about it till last night. And yet it has a perfect, literally 100% score from Rotten Tomatoes. That section of the show today will be towards the end. It's not going to be for little eyes and ears because I'm going to play a clip and it is very scary. So maybe it's also not for your eyes and ears because I don't know. Maybe it's too scary for you. But I want to talk about it, so I will. And the last story, but certainly not least, that we have to talk about is Lily Allen, the singer, feeling like she was lied to in terms of career and motherhood and women being able to have it all at the same time. Very juicy. Now, before I get started, please make sure that you are subscribed to this channel and thumbs up this video. If you are watching this live currently or later, if I'm talking to you in the future, and you are watching without thumbsing up, that is equivalent to going out to eat and not tipping. That is exactly what it's equivalent to. Don't tell me I'm wrong. I know that I'm right. It is exactly it. I am providing a service, and it actually is free, and I'm asking you for free to just push a button. Can you not do that at least? That's it. That's all I'm asking. So please subscribe to this channel. Thumbs up the button. Is the princess dead? Dead. Show me Weekend at Bernie's. Everyone knows the gist by now. I feel like it will bore everyone for me to go through all the details, but I will still do it because there are some people that are like, I don't know what's going on. Oh, I'm under a rock. I have four babies. I don't know anything that's happening. I know what you say. I get it. You know, you're momming or whatever you're doing and you haven't caught up. I'm going to tell you the summary, but I'm not going to go so far into the summary that everybody gets bored because they already know. Kate Middleton has not been seen in public since December. The palace said that she was having a non-cancerous abdominal swirl. The palace said that she was having a non-cancerous abdominal. Damn it. I can't say this word. We've already been here before a couple weeks ago. She was having tummy surgery. It wasn't cancer. It was surgery on her tum-tum in January. They wouldn't say more. And they said that she would be in the hospital for 10 to 14 days and that she had at-home recovery after that. January 29th, she is discharged. A statement is released saying that she will not be resuming public appearances until after Easter. And even though it was a pre-planned surgery, starts up canceling upcoming events. Like, I think some events in June were canceled, which, see, this wasn't making sense. The internet starts being funny, and they start making the whole ordeal one big meme event and speculating that she was the unknown character, the Willy Wonka Glasgow fiasco, that, like, really creepy monster at the Willy Wonka thing. They were saying that that character, oh, that was Kate Middleton, you know, that this was all being funny. And that she was, you know, maybe she was taking time off because she was actually preparing for The Masked Singer, hee hee ha ha. Like, it was basically one big joke. On March 10th, the palace releases this photo of Kate and her kids, which is very clearly and obviously photoshopped, and she's also not wearing a wedding ring. So the whole thing is super weird. This sends everybody into overdrive. If they're sending out photoshopped images of her, clearly something really bad must be happening. Either something went wrong with the surgery, or she's getting a divorce and they're trying to cover it up. Something. Even weirder, they make Kate apologize for this photo, say that she was doing the photoshopping, that she did a bad job. Okay, hello? You expect me to believe that the freaking princess is photoshopping, like, a bad photo of her in jeggings and all? Like, the whole thing is just ridiculous. Like, nobody believes that. Here's where things get really bad really fast. The world's biggest news agency, AFP, they announce that the that Kensington Palace is now no longer a trusted news source because they did this. They said that they now have to consider any photos or statements going forward that are released from Kensington Palace to be as trustable as North Korea. Okay, that is historical. We can't trust North Korea because Kim Jong-un is saying stuff like he doesn't have a butthole and that he controls the weather. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is like crazy, I mean, crazy stuff. And they're saying, okay, the palace now is as trustable as that guy. Yikes. Really an embarrassment for the entire royal family. Like, what? Radar Online posts. Now, here's where we get to the interesting part. What do I think? Radar Online posts what I think is the most convincing and believable article about what's really going on. This is the theory I believe the most. I don't care what you think, what you believe yet. Let me say my thoughts, and then I will ask you for yours. So wait a minute, please. I am talking. Here's what the article says. Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, is reportedly considering stepping away from her royal duties, according to a bombshell new report. Kate's rumored decision has reportedly rocked her marriage to King-in-waiting Prince William and the monarchy. While Kate reportedly isn't officially decided, the 42-year-old keeps pushing back the date when she'll return to public life. Kate's desperate struggle with the constant pressures of life in the royal fishbowl has clearly taken quite a terrible toll on her physical and mental health, a senior palace source says. She spent weeks staying out of the public eye after her operations, and it's only strengthened her resolve to quit. William is beside himself over the decision. He's stunned that his wife could ever consider such a move. He made sure that she knew what she was getting into before she married him, and she's done a brilliant job, but he's concerned that she's become emotionally unstable. But she insists that she's finally seeing clearly. Damning. This is the most juicy to me because the she's unstable thing was also said about Princess Diana as well. Charles floated that around to the media so that he could get away with his affair to Camila Cabello. Now enter Rose Hanbury. Amid Kate Middleton's ongoing recovery from a indomitable surgery in January and her Photoshop controversy that sparked plenty of speculation, we're just moving on the fact that I can't say that word. Amid Kate Middleton's tummy recovery and her Photoshop controversy that sparked plenty of speculation, there is another topic dominating discussion involving Prince William and one of Kate's former close friends, Rose Hanbury. She's a 39-year-old former model who's also a royal and married to some decrepitly old man who she shares three kids. It's been said that Rose's family has a long history with the British royal family. And according to reports, her grandmother, Lady Elizabeth Lambert, served as one of Queen Elizabeth II's bridesmaids when she married Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, in 1947. Fast forward to more present day, Rose's son, Lord Oliver, this stuff sounds made up. Rose's son, Lord Oliver, served as one of four pages of honor for King Charles's coronation ceremony. Blee, blee, blah, blah, blah. This is so boring. I don't care about royal stuff. I want the juice. And the juice is William and Kate were once neighbors with Rose and David. Now, I told you it was juicy. This is like a Lifetime movie. A fair speculation between the future King of England and Rose first surfaced in April 2019 after a UK tabloid first sparked the rumor following an alleged fallout between Rose and Kate. It was around that time during an outing that Kate was also seen seemingly giving William's PDA the cold shoulder. He was trying to make a move. She said, nah, I don't want it. She was mad, which only added fuel to the fire. Not helping matters when Rose attended King Charles's coronation earlier last May, even though there were no photos of her and Kate, who married William, of course, in 2011, so 2 years after all that drama. And the Kensington Palace has never addressed the rumor. Here's the theory I like. Kate did have the tummy surgery, but in the meantime found out that William was seeing Rose again and basically said, I have had it. I'm not afraid to leave you. I see the path out. I know it's possible because of Meghan and Harry. And if you don't knock it off, I will ruin your life. I will ruin your life. Because here's the thing. Prince Charles is going through cancer as well. He's very old. I'm willing to bet not much time left. And William has never been closer to being king. Kate threatening to leave probably put the fear of God in him. Not a good look to become king as your wife is leaving you and the kids. Terrible scandal. The whole Where is Kate drama, I think, was a way to toy with him and show how hellish she can make his life. So that is the theory that I like the most and I think is the juiciest and the most realistic. As of today, House and Habit and several other journalists are softly and respectfully trying to get out that what's really going on is that Kate had some sort of bowel surgery, post-eating disorder. It was embarrassing for her. Now she has a bag. And, you know, I get not wanting the public to know that. But here's where all of this falls apart for me. If the entire world is set into a frenzy, speculating that I'm dead, that my husband is having an affair, saying that I'm going to leave him, that I've become unhinged, that I'm in a mental hospital, and it isn't blowing over in the normal 24-hour news cycle, it's getting worse. Now people are questioning my character. They're questioning my husband's character. They're questioning the palace's character. Why would you not immediately set the record straight, post a video of yourself saying, hey, it's just surgery. I am recovering. Here I am. Here's a newspaper with the date on it. I am alive. I am here. I will be back soon. No, instead, you allegedly Photoshop a picture badly, post it, or the palace posts it, and then after that, you don't show a real photo or video. You don't address anything. Like, at this point, having a poop bag is really, in my opinion, less embarrassing than everything they're saying, is it not? So I'm not convinced that's all it is. I'm not. I would love to now read your theories in the chat of what you believe is going on. And now it is your turn. Jennifer agrees with me. She says House and Habit's explanation doesn't explain why she wouldn't just come out and say, hey, get off of me. Get off my butt. I am alive. Bada boom, bada bing. That's what I'm saying. Like, if this is all true, like it was just surgery that's embarrassing for her, then, I mean, basically say some kind of version of that and do a selfie video or, you know, a video of here up or something of yourself, like, or a photo of you laying in bed sleeping sick. Why not do any of that, especially now that the credit of the palace is completely shot? Paige is unsure about the eating disorder portion of it. I mean, we just saw her in December. She doesn't look like she's an eating disorder to me. She looks fine. Sarah says Diana also suffered from an eating disorder, so it would look bad on William because of Diana and Charles. Someone says, Alex, royals do not bow down to the media like that. They never complain. They never explain. That was their attitude with Queen Elizabeth. Someone else says, maybe recovery is just really difficult. She just needs time. And someone says she's definitely tired of the pressure and she is thinking about leaving him. They agree with my theory. Vanny says Kate's in a reputation era. She's ready to burn this place to the ground. Debbie says, what about the death of Sir Thomas? That's kind of suspicious. I don't know who that is. But here's my big question. You know who we haven't gone to for a comment on this story and this scandal? No one's gone to Peppa Pig. And this is a source who is prime with information. British as all get out, literally living there in the moment, in the same territory, physically speaking. And nobody has thought to get Peppa Pig's comment on the ordeal. It's like nobody knows how to do true journalism anymore. We need the Peppa Pig comment. We need the statement. We need the press release. Amelia says they'll be divorced by 2025. Other people are asking about the often yourself. I don't know anything about that. Hannah says she's in a coma. Her sister, Pippa, not to be confused with Peppa, is impersonating her for the public eye like she was the one in the car that was seen. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't really want to talk about any of this until we get Peppa's opinion, because honestly, there's no one else that is a truly unbiased source in media than Peppa Pig. Here's who Thomas Kensington is. Kingston, sorry. Sean Kingston. Beautiful Kate. Thomas Kingston, who was married to William's cousin, passed away suddenly recently. There have been some theories that Thomas was having an affair with Kate and he was taken out and now she's upset and she's in hiding. Again, I need Fox News to invite Peppa Pig to come on as the official British contributor and to give her take. Peppa Pig is Kate's body double. No, Pippa Pig is Kate's body double. Is it Pippa? Is it Peppa? Is it Salt and Peppa? Push it. Melissa says she's probably just gained weight after surgery and recovery. She wants to lose it before photos and videos taken. No, that's not it, Melissa, because when you go through surgery, you lose weight. You don't gain it. Becca says Meghan and Harry are probably waiting. They're going to be spilling the tea for a good podcast or Netflix series. Oh my gosh, wait, that's what it is. You know what? You have it, actually, Becca, because what's going on with Meghan and Harry? And you have to get into Meghan and Harry because... Okay, wait, this is so juicy. Becca! Becca! You got it. Because Netflix and Harry and Meghan are in this huge fight right now. If you remember, Netflix is pissed because they feel like they haven't delivered on anything juicy for Netflix. And Harry and Meghan have nothing to offer. Nobody wants to watch or hear anything that they do. And if they have tea, they could say, I'll sell out the family even more. They've already done it. Who's to say, who's to stop them from just digging deeper? I mean, why not? They already don't have a relationship with Kate and William. Just freaking go all in. Make your money, Meghan. Get your bag. They're going to go to Netflix and say, we will sit down and we will talk about what's going on. That's it. That's what's going to happen. Hopefully. Now, speaking of Meghan, this is where things just get absolutely unhinged. Okay. In the midst of all of this drama, Meghan Markle yesterday, and maybe you didn't know, yesterday Meghan Markle decides to just launch a lifestyle brand. Like, she doesn't have a care in the world whether her sister-in-law lives or dies. She just wants to sell you throw pillows, okay? She wants to know what sheets are on your bed, and she wants to sell you hand soap. Meghan Markle doesn't give a flip about what's going on. The New York Post posted the most savage article that I've ever read, okay? And this just made it all even better. This is the headline, literally. Meghan Markle's new lifestyle brand is doomed to be yet another flop in her illustrious career. Honey, it gets worse. Yesterday, the 42-year-old debuted a new lifestyle brand called American Riviera Orchard, word vom, okay, on Instagram. They say, the Goopy Project sounds like a name one of her Montecito, California neighbors might give their third-born child. American Riviera Orchard. America. Somebody do a British accent so I can copy it. America. I can't do it. Somebody say it in my ear so I can copy it. I have to hear it to try to emulate. Say it. American Riviera Orchard. They are so right. This totally sounds like some weird celebrity, heinous baby name. They say, in the softest of launches, which is another slap, Markle's social media post and new website offered no details of what products she will sell or what exactly she's doing. However, a trademark application says she plans to push cookbooks and home goods. Womp womp. So far on Instagram, we've been treated. This is so sarcastic and just brutal. So far on Instagram, we've been treated to a golden logo written in calligraphy. Wow, how royal. This is literally what the article says. Wow, how royal. The sarcasm is dripping. And a grainy video clip of Meg's stirring away in the kitchen. Stop with stirring away in the kitchen like she's scrambling like a little mouse in the night. Picking flowers and standing at the end of a hall. Wonderful, period. Another stop on her quixotic quest to become Martha Stewart. Well, Martha Stewart, if nobody watched Stewart's TV shows or bought her magazine, cookbooks, and kitchenware. Damn, New York Post. They hate Meghan Markle more than me. They say, let me call it now. The glorified Etsy page, if it ever gets off the ground, stop. I'm literally crying. It's so mean. It's so mean I'm crying. Like, I'm literally tearing up reading this because it's, like, the most savage thing I've ever read. Like, I literally am crying laughing. Okay. The glorified Etsy page, if it ever gets off the ground, will be one more embarrassing blip. Remember Markle's now defunct lifestyle blog, The Tig, 2014 to 2017? Thought not. Markle dubbed the site a hub for the discerning palate and used it to hawk recipes and beauty tips. She name-dropped more famous friends like Serena Williams and interviewed Elizabeth Hurley and Ivanka Trump, a fact she would no doubt rather we all forgot. The Tig, however, was terminated along with her acting career when she married Prince Harry and became a working royal. Which she and Harry promptly quit less than 2 years later. That was scrapped when the duo didn't meet productivity benchmarks. Or as one Spotify... Oh, sorry, I'm skipping ahead. Which she and Harry quit 2 years later. And then there was the Duchess and Harry's $20 million Spotify deal. That was scrapped when the duo didn't meet productivity benchmarks. Or as one Spotify exec and podcaster Bill Simmons put it, the effing grifters. That's the podcast we should have launched with them. A podcast called The Effing Grifters. The two have hardly been workhorses at Netflix, who they signed with for an obscene $100 million. So to put this into perspective, Timothy Chalamet, okay, guess how much money he was paid for Wonka? $8 million. They gave Harry and Meghan $100 million for this Netflix deal. Holy crap. That partnership has basically amounted to nothing except a couple forgettable documentaries. Ouch. Sources say that Harry and Meghan have worn out their welcome in Hollywood with an iron-fisted desire for control combined with lack of experience. Shocker. Can't say I sympathize much with either party, Hollywood or the Sussexes in this instance. It's been bungle after bungle, lazy move after lazy move. And for Markle has come to stand for... basically costly vanity. And what a shamelessly opportunistic moment, they write, to pull back the curtain or some tablecloths and coasters during a time when, like, her sister-in-law is missing in action. They said, you know, they haven't been bothered to say anything about what's going on, but perhaps Harry was too busy in the garage packing his wife's American Riviera Orchard coffee mugs. What a prince! What a prince. Brutal. Why do I feel like this brand is destined for Kohl's? Like, it's giving Kohl's vibes big time, is it not? Which store is American Riviera Orchard destined to be at? Put up a poll. Which store is American Riviera Orchard destined to be at? Home Goods? Home Goods or Kohl's? Home Goods or Kohl's? Is American Riviera Orchard going straight to Home Goods or Kohl's? Here's the weird Instagram. So gay. Like, Lauren Conrad is about to be Meghan Markle's biggest competitor. You'll love to see it. Okay, enough royals. We're done with the royals. Let's discuss some very bad news for Gen Z. Which is Brandy Melville is going down. Brandy Hellville. Gen Z's favorite store might also have the most toxic work environment. And they're getting a allegedly a huge expose documentary made by HBO. Here is the article. There's been a rise in expose documentaries over recent years attempting to dismantle and unveil the often harsh realities of leading brands in the fashion industry. I will skip ahead and summarize. You know, we know as millennials, this all, we went through this with Abercrombie. This was the big thing is that, you know, the CEO of Abercrombie was super sexist and gay and sexually harassing male models, and they were exploiting models, and it was this super weird, toxic environment to work at, you know, that whole thing. Now the same thing is happening to Brandy Melville. A brand that for years has been at the center of accusations surrounding racism and discrimination. Okay, you know, I mean, everybody's racist, right? I mean, I don't know about how credible that is, but this is what they're saying. Founded in the early 80s, the company initially called Italy its home base before moving to the U.S. in 2009, where it established a more prominent presence in its and its now cult-like status. It is from here that problems behind the scenes began emerging, lingering in the backdrop of a teen craze that catapulted the brand forward and subsequently led to the creation of the Brandy Girl aesthetic. These issues are all set to be unraveled, detailed, and underlined in a new documentary by HBO Max called Brandy Hellville and the Cult of Fast Fashion, which premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin this week. Here's what's annoying to me. This, I don't know what's going on with this documentary. Maybe there's like a lawsuit or something that happened when this trailer got played at South by Southwest, because the trailer was online. I watched it, and now it's like erased. It's all erased from online. So that tells me, I wonder if something's going on here. They are like, oh, wait, we got to wait on this documentary because there's something legally going on. I don't know. I got to take a drink. What are the people saying? Tell me in my ears and I'll say it. Oh, a lot of people are saying American Riviera Orchard is going to Ross. Ross and Goodwill, inevitably, yes. So, what is the brand famous for? Brandy Melville. And all American, you should look up their Instagram and show like the clothes, like show the Brandy Melville Instagram. If you don't know, very all American girl, very California. It's just basics. It's like plain t-shirts, sweatpants. My most favorite plain like sweatpants I own are Brandy Melville, like little tank tops and stuff. Brandy Melville, like it is great stuff. Really cheap. So they have a one-size-fits-all policy, sizing policy, which, you know, this is the kind of stuff that pissed all the woke people off about Abercrombie, because it was like, one-size-fits-all? How dare you not have a size 315? This isn't progressive. The size range is mostly small and medium, so they say one size fits all, but it's really small and medium. So, I mean, that's a little fair to be like, okay, that's, you know, maybe offer some larges or whatever. And there's been all of these reviews on Glassdoor talking about alleged racism, that they were required to send, that employees are required to send outfit pictures to management every day. Like, when they're working, they show up for their shift, they have to take a picture of themselves, send to management. I don't know that I have a problem with that. Like, I get it. It's kind of like your work uniform, and corporate needs to make sure you're not showing up wearing Abercrombie when you're supposed to be wearing Brandy Melville. I mean, I don't think that that's horrible. Now, some people are saying that they were fired if they were off brand. Somebody says that they were black and fat and they were fired. So there's been some lawsuits. And some employees as young as 14 say that they would have to model clothing for certain executives. Okay, that would be problematic. They believed that taking their tops off would lead to perks or raises. Okay, so that's obviously problematic. And that group chats for the company had racist remarks, forms of pornography, as well as somebody's head superimposed onto the body of Hitler. Weird. You know, I was told yesterday on Twitter from somebody that the fact that I'm obsessed with organic food, that I am a racist or something because the Nazis were also obsessed with organic food. Now, I've never heard that, but that was a very interesting remark from a leftist. Now, the documentary is set to feature interviews with both former and current employees, as well as executives of Brandy Melville and a former unnamed former vice president. The topic of idealized teenage girls will be at the forefront of discussion, with those participating addressing the discrimination that ran rampant throughout the business. It is also believed that the documentary will touch on the brand's environmental impact, you know, fast fashion. See, I almost more than Brandy Melville, I would rather us do a documentary on Shein. Is anyone else with me on this? Like, that's juicier to me than Brandy Melville. HBO has not released a specific date. And like I said, they deleted the trailer. So I don't know what's going on with this, but I will be watching it when it comes out. Another documentary that I'm really excited to watch is the Nickelodeon one. Which, does that come out tonight or in like 2 days or something? I'm really excited for the Nickelodeon documentary where Drake Bell announced that he was raped while he was filming like the Amanda Show or whatever. All right. Oh, you associate Brandy Melville with HRH Collection? She does like Brandy Melville, doesn't she? Yeah, I like Brandy Melville. Like, that's like my favorite basics go-to brand. I shop there a lot. Okay. Kind of reminds me of the backstory. Any, like, OGs here? The OGs will remember I forever have been obsessed with the Lisa Frank scandal. Put a poll in the chat. Do you know the Lisa Frank scandal? Yes or no? Because if everyone doesn't know, like, if the majority here know it, then I'm not going to rehash all that. But if you don't know it, then maybe I will. Because the Rainbow Gulag, as the Lisa Frank headquarters was known in Tucson, Arizona, is one of my favorite fashion and 90s, 2000s nostalgia lore stories. And it's all true. And it's so interesting. But if everyone knows the story by now, I'm not going to retell it and divert from my schedule because, you know, we only have 20 minutes. Let's see. Do you know the Lisa Frank scandal? What are people saying? Oh, the majority say no. Okay. Do you want me to tell you the Lisa Frank story? Or do you want me to do the Lily Allen resenting the notion that women can have it all? And then also play you a snippet of the scariest movie that we've had in like 10 years that has a perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes and talk about that. That was my original plan. So we can divert if we prefer or we keep going. Or what we could do is I could do a long form video that I post on YouTube where we called it a pop doc before, and that was what I did. I did a 15, 20 minute little video. It was like a mini documentary about the Lisa Frank scandal, and I could just redo that better and re-release that, and then that could be one big video that you could watch on YouTube about the whole Lisa Frank scandal. What do we think? What does my team think? Well, if we want the scary movie, then we have to move on. It is what it is. Here's what I'll do. That I still have, I think, the script, like all my research, everything I've written out. And the editors can just have the fun of editing it again and making it better. So I'll do that video as a standalone video on the Real Alex Clark YouTube in the next week. And we'll edit that and we'll put it out. Okay. All right, they're happy now. They love it whenever I have a long-form video essay. Everybody gets so excited about that. All right, we'll do that for you so that it's like its own thing. And then I could spend time on it. and make sure I have all the details correct. All right, so let's actually do the scary movie next, and then Lily Allen. We'll end on a happy note since this is very scary and disturbing, and then we'll go to Lily Allen so that we have something, like, not as scary to end on. Okay, one thing about me. I must be the last girl on earth who loves scary movies. It has been my favorite genre since I was 8. There's a new movie coming out March 22nd in theaters, which, oh my gosh, when was the last time we had a good scary movie to see in theaters? You know what I mean? It's just, it's a moment. Don't share that link with them. Don't share it. Because I want them to watch the new version. I don't want them to watch the old pop doc. They're about to give you my old thing I did, but I want you to get a new good version, better quality. Okay. So I'm gatekeeping that from you. This new movie coming out, it's called Late Night with the Devil, has a perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes. Here's the description. It's Halloween 1977. Johnny Carson rival Jack Delroy is the host of a once hugely popular syndicated talk show. But ratings have plummeted and sponsors are getting nervous. Desperate to turn his fortunes around, Jack pulls out all the stops for his annual Halloween special, booking a psychic, a professional skeptic, a parapsychologist, and a young girl allegedly possessed by the devil. What could possibly go wrong? I'm going to play a short snippet of the trailer. I'm going to end it right before the super scary part. So I still wouldn't watch or play this in front of your kids, but you can watch the full, like, 2-minute trailer or whatever if you want. But this is like a minute and 30 seconds. So here is Late Night with the Devil.
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Delroy!
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again. Well, Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it. Love it.
I'm trying to host a nationally syndicated talk show.
And I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business. And that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do live TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first as we attempt to commune with the devil.
Lily, can you hear me?
I was gonna cut it off right before it got real scary. Are you on the edge? I kind of look like that girl, don't I? My twin. So excited. So I love stuff like that. And I am, it's so funny because I can see the numbers. People like ditched the live because they were scared. We're back. We're fine. It's over. Okay. Anyway, who will be watching this in theaters with me next Friday? Is anybody willing to go, you know, on your own with your significant other or friend or whatever? I'm going to make my coworkers go with me because I don't have a boyfriend to force to come along. So anyway, okay, let's do Lily Allen here quickly. So Lily Allen put in the chat, a poll, are you going to watch Late Night with the Devil? Lily Allen resents the notion that women can have it all in terms of kid and career. Pulling up this article. So, oh my gosh, are you joking me? Why is Fox News behind a paywall now? Have they ever been behind a paywall? I can't open this article. Let me see if I can find it from another source. This is what I source for myself to click, and it's like, you have to pay to read, please. Okay, Lily Allen, motherhood career. Let's see. Sorry. Okay, CBS News. Let's see if they'll give it to me for free. Can women really have it all? Lily Allen says kids ruined her career, highlighting that challenge. And ruined is like kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like she's saying that dramatically on purpose. Like she had to choose. People told her, like, you can do both. And she's like, no, you can't. And I'm choosing my kids. So, you know, they ruined my career. So she is gaining attention for comments she made on the challenges of balancing a career with motherhood. She said, I never really have a strategy when it comes to career, but yes, my children ruined my career. She said, laughing on some podcast, Radio Times is what it's called. She said, I mean, I love them and they complete me, but in terms of pop stardom, totally ruined it. She's 38. She has two daughters with her ex-husband, Sam Cooper. She said that she chose to step back from her career to focus on raising kids. She said, it really annoys me when people say that you can have it all because, quite frankly, you can't. Some people choose their career over their children, and that's their prerogative. She says, it's a dilemma that many women in the U.S. are all too familiar with. The concept that we can do it all, many of us have realized, is not a realistic concept. Oh, that's what somebody else said. It's another expert commenting on what Lily Allen said. This expert, her name is Holly Wilbanks, told this to CBS News. She said, instead, what women today are trying to do is figure out what's important to them, what they value, how they can structure their focus and their time around those things. And quite frankly, for a lot of women, it means making choices. Now, what did I say at the Young Women's Leadership Summit last year? I said, we as women, one, can't have it all. We can have it all, but not at the same time. Sorry. We can have it all, but it won't be at the same time. So at some points in our life, it can be career, and then we're going to have to make it motherhood. And then maybe we can go back to career, or we never do. But it's not you. And people are like, what do you mean? I work full time and I have kids. Okay. One thing is suffering. It is absolutely impossible to give 100% to both of those things. So maybe you're able to give 75, 25. Maybe you're able to give 40 here and, you know, another 60 here. But nobody is able to give 100. You cannot be full blast at your career and full blast. I mean, it's number one, we know it's impossible because if you are a mother and you're working full time, I mean, how many times do you have to call in because your kid is sick, not you? You know what I mean? So, like, it is impossible to do that. And so we tell women that we can do all of it. And instead, what we should be doing is asking them to be radically thoughtful with their choices. Go into having a career knowing, okay, am I structuring this career? Am I taking the position? Am I taking the promotion that is going to be conducive for getting married and having kids? Is it something that's going to allow me to go either dial it back way part-time or quit altogether and come back to it once my kids are school age, if you're, you know, putting them in school, or once they're out of the house, if you do not want to, you know, put them in school, you want to homeschool or whatever. But you can also homeschool working full time. So it's just what they're saying is that we're not honest with women, that the majority of us, like over 65%, data shows, once we have kids, we think that we want to continue working full time. And then almost all of us, more than half of us, the majority of us as women decide, you know what, I think that I want to either quit altogether or I want to go part-time, because it's in our nature as women. And what the feminist movement has told us as women is that we can avoid nature, we can ignore nature, that it's possible to outsmart nature and our biological God-given desires. And the truth is, it's not. It's not. 50 years, over 50 years of the feminist movement, and we know that that was a lie. It was a lie. How many families have been destroyed by this lie? How many kids are growing up with broken attachment due to this lie? How many mothers are crying, dropping their kids off at daycare every single morning, thinking that they just have to push through it and ignore it, ignore their intuition telling them that isn't right because of this lie? Good on Lily Allen. This expert says to CBS News, nowadays, being successful means being so many different things to so many different women. It's very subjective. Some women think that climbing the ladder is success. Other women feel caregiving for their children or a sick loved one is the definition of success. So quite frankly, it's all over the spectrum. Can women have it all? No, nobody can have it all. Can women be incredible moms and successful professionals? Absolutely. We don't want to fall into this habit, she says, of valorizing a stay-at-home lifestyle that is not accessible to everyone, and even some people to whom it is accessible have chosen against it. Well, I disagree with that. It is accessible to everyone, but you have to be willing to give up some things. Right? We've learned that with my Jillian interview that I did in January and countless other people. It's like commenting, you know, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but yeah, we don't go on vacations. Like, it's going to be another 5 years till we go on like a nice family vacation, or we're driving super crappy cars, or, you know, I have a really old iPhone. I don't have the newest iPhone. Like, it's just priorities. If you want to make it happen, you're going to make it happen. I mean, I always talk about this, but I see it all the time with some of my closest friends who are doing this, and they do not make much money as a household income. They don't. And they're doing this with multiple kids. So I see it happening in my real life. My own parents did it. But I mean, if you're talking about today, because everybody wants to be like, but today it's different. Today it's different. Inflation's different. There are still people doing it. Is it more rare? Yes, but there are still people doing it. So the key is, I think you got to reach out to those people, ask them how they're doing it. Listen to that interview I did with that stay-at-home mom under $40,000 a year. It's very interesting. Anyway, I thought that was juicy. You don't ever hear that. You know, instead you get like, what's her name? Something Williams. Why am I blanking? You know who I'm going to say. You get the actress talking about how she decided to have an abortion so that she could continue her career, her acting career. No, not Wendy Williams. What is that girl's name? Blonde little girl. Had abortion to continue acting. Famous. Oh, why isn't she coming up? Yes, Michelle Williams. Thank you. Anyway, on a lighter note, grab your fart walk partner, do your fart girl walk, and listen to the newest spillover with second generation homeschool mom Claire Denault. I am so excited about the excitement or feedback, I should say, over this episode. Claire was so impressive. I didn't know what to expect from that interview. I think she brought the freaking heat. I love that the two homeschool moms that I've had on the spillover, Heidi St. John a year or so ago and Claire now, have been so freaking fierce and unapologetic and just spoke so eloquently and left no room for debate. Like, they just crushed the argument, I thought. Claire did such a good job. They're female warriors. I love it. So you guys seemed to really love it, too. I've already listened to the interview like 3 times personally since it dropped last night because I loved Claire so much. And, you know, she has never done a podcast before. She's never done a podcast interview. That was her first media interview, which I couldn't believe. So she did such a good job. I think she's probably going to get invited on a bunch of stuff now. I wouldn't be surprised. If you live in the Dallas area, that's where she is, you should reach out to her about her homeschool group because it sounds freaking cool. I will say that. Thumbs up this video, please. Subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube or Real Alex Clark on podcast if you listen there. We are back next Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's Pop Culture Without the Propaganda. Next week, we will have, we'll be doing Politics Live the same day that I've got an interview coming out with a holistic dentist. I'm actually right now in about an hour about to film with him. So I am absolutely ecstatic for that interview as well. I'm Alex Clark. This is Politics Live.